Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hello, this is Les Brown, Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show. Listen, continue to listen, and you'll discover your greatness.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Yes, it is. Hello there. Guess what? It's Tuesday, which means I have a special guest. And this lady is really special. Gotta hang in there. She's gonna give your little mind a bit of an ass kicking. She is awesome. And I'll tell you the story about that in a few minutes. But I wanna welcome you to the show. And start with my gratitude. You know, I start every day with gratitudes, and after every meal, we do gratitudes as a family. And it's one of those big things in life that will make a shift for you. When crap's going on, focus on what you're grateful for, and it's just going to shift the energy for you. So what's going on here? Well, it's that winter is starting to creep along. It's just cold at night. I can't believe it. I've still got my shorts on though, and so I'm going to fight it all the way. I bet you I can wear shorts all the way through December. But anyway, want to welcome you to the show, and I just want to share something with you. You know, as this lady really inspired in me this thought process around a number of things. But there was a wonderful verse or quote, I suppose you would call it, by a wonderful lady. And I want to see if I can remember it completely. In fact, I may just pull it up here just so I don't mess it up. But her name was Maxine Cartoon. And she says this. She says, "Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in an attractive, well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, chocolate in one hand, a martini in the other, body thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and screaming, 'Woohoo! What a ride!'" Yep, that's what it's all about. And this guest of mine today, she really exudes that. Had a wonderful, wonderful journey through life. And I love the way she describes herself. She describes herself as I'm a life coach. She says, I'm a mom. I'm a writer. She says, I'm a hellraiser and a roller derby rebel. So that's what she is. But with her work that she does is really, really important because, you know, her work, she does a lot of work with women and really allowing women to discover the sort of the greater part of themselves and to really fall in love with themselves. She says she's passionate about empowering women to value themselves and fiercely, and I love that word, and you hear me answer that question, you know, about fiercely falling in love with who you are, how to manage that inner critic and leveraging the law of attraction and stepping, and I love this, she said stepping into that own badass version of herself, right? So there's that wonderful idea that we have this this badass version of ourselves, and she certainly exudes that in her in the way that she is, and you're going to hear a story where she could have really played a role in stopping this podcast from ever airing anymore, and she didn't. And so I am forever grateful to her. And why don't you listen in as Andrea Owen and myself get down and have a little chat. Well, I just want to welcome you to the show, Andrea, and just say thank you. And I'll explain the thank you in a few minutes. But first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right. And now I should say, I'll keep it a secret. The big thank you is going to come in a moment. But, you know, there is something, Andrea, about you that is so authentic and so great. And everything you write and how you speak, the way your body moves, I can just see it. It all kind of is, there's this kind of beautiful synergy with everything. But you have this kind of cause that you're really about, and your cause with women. And you talk about, you know, helping them step into their own badass version of themselves. What does that mean?
Well, it looks different for everyone. And some people are a little taken aback by the word badass and, you know, the whole kick-ass life thing. And I really have found that it looks different for every woman. And in a nutshell, you know, the bottom line is that I feel, and this was my experience as well, without getting too much into the story, but I feel like a lot of times we look outside of ourselves for our happiness and our fulfillment and, you know, our own badassery of life. And whether that looks like a relationship or our job that we're going for, or that master's degree, or a Louis Vuitton handbag, or eating organic. I mean, it can be all these different things that we think are going to bring us the happiness that we really, really deeply yearn for, when it's really not. It doesn't have anything to do with that. And it's all about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves. And what I teach women to do is become their own biggest fan and to really look at themselves as they are a legend in their own mind. Absolutely. I think that you should never apologize for that, for being in love with yourself. So that's what it really boils down to.
I want to talk about that, because you talk about, you know, women really valuing themselves and fiercely loving who they are. Yeah. And obviously, you know, as we look out there, 80% of my students are women. And this whole idea of self-love, I mean, we could probably talk about it for the next 6 months or the next 6 years. Talk to me about that. I mean, obviously, there's a journey that you must have taken to discover that. And that's something that comes out of you, your extreme confidence and sort of how comfortable you feel in your body. I imagine that wasn't always the case. But what does it mean to have, or how challenging is it to fall fiercely in love with yourself?
I think it's a big challenge to even know that that's what's missing in your life, because I believe that our culture as women does not set us up for this. I mean, just taking the advertising world, let's look at that example. It sets us up to feel like we're not enough, that we don't have enough, that we aren't beautiful enough, you know, still without getting all feminist cheerleader on you, David, but we still live in a culture where we are valued more for the way we look rather than who we are as a person. So it's a tough battle. And that's what I see over and over again, like I just mentioned, that we're going after, like, oh, if I just go on this diet, if I just get these hair extensions, if I just get this outfit, then it will all come together for me. And it has nothing to do with it. It really is how you feel about yourself.
And you're obviously a life coach as well. And I'm going to explain a little bit about our connection and our story in a moment. I want to sort of save that. But I really want to get at the essence of what you do. There's a huge cause here. Mm-hmm. And this idea of really leading someone through this valley of, I know you call it your gremlin, your sort of inner gremlin or the inner critic, that kind of nonsense in their head. Is that one of the big hurdles that everyone has to overcome, especially women?
Absolutely. Because, you know, the thing is with the gremlin and the inner critic, and it's basically disempowering beliefs and thoughts, is that it's universal. I mean, people look at me and they come to me and they ask me and they say, you know, I want this to go away. And I tell them I'm not a brain surgeon. I can't completely remove it. It's not like getting your appendix out. You'll still have it, but you learn how to manage it. And, you know, the sad thing is that people come to believe that this voice is their truth and they don't even notice that it's happening anymore. So that's the first step that I always take with people, is that you take inventory of these thoughts. What's going on in your mind when you feel like shit and you can't figure out what it is, and you're pointing the fingers and you think it's your husband and you think it's your kids and you think it's your coworkers? I ask people, what's going on in your head? What is the conversation that's taking place? And 99% of the time, it's thoughts of, I'm not good enough. I'm not good at this. I'm never going to get to where I want to be. This is never going to turn out the way I want it. So people get stuck in that story and they continue to live it, because it's what's happening in their thoughts. So I help people manage the thoughts and shift them, and their life changes.
Shift the shit.
Shift the shit. Yes, love that.
I got a new saying for you. But Andrea, you have, again, done this with a lot of people. You've helped a lot of women. And so give me, I'm thinking of this woman at home right now. And as she's listening to you, obviously, I'm going to share with them how they can find you and work with you and discover the gifts that you have. But share with me a couple of tips. I'm sitting on the couch right now. I've got this gremlin kicking the crap out of the inside of my head. I'm comparing myself to the magazines. I'm comparing myself to the bullshit that's out there. And yet, you know, that inner conversation is ruining my relationships with my children and my spouse and my friends. So where does a woman start? How does she start on this journey to, again, you were very clear, and I love this because I teach the same thing, is this idea that it's never going to go away. It's right. Just managing it differently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And so the solution is that I have this magic pill. No, I'm just kidding. Now, it sounds really simple, but it starts with awareness. And, you know, I start really, really simple because many times women, well, all the time, you've been living this way for 35, 40, 45 years. I always tell people the good news is that you've created this way of thinking. You absolutely can create a new way of thinking. So the first step is awareness and just take inventory of the thoughts that are happening. And I literally ask people to write them down. When you find yourself not feeling well, like you just had a really shitty day, what is the conversation that's going on in your mind? Or if you're paralyzed in fear, say there's this goal that you have this secret dream, or there you want to get a promotion. It can be any kind of goal and you haven't done it. What are the thoughts that are happening in your mind that are stopping you from doing it? And a lot of people don't like this exercise because it's painful. But if you don't know what's going on in your mind, you're not going to be able to change it. It's sort of like, you know, if you don't know how you want to redecorate your house, if you don't know what's going on in there, how do you know what you want to change? So that's where I start. It's awareness of what is happening. And then we literally take those thoughts and we shift them. And I never tell people, I want you to go from A to Z. I don't really, you know, here's a little secret. I don't love affirmations. I think that our brains, I think we're too smart for that. And I think that we really deep down call bullshit on affirmations because they just, you can't buy into them a lot of times. It's too much of a change. So I ask people just take this thought that sucks, that's not serving you, that says something like, okay, let's take weight for example. I'm fat. I'm not going to lose this 20 pounds. I look totally gross. I mean, that's a valid thought that many, many women have. So I'm not asking you to look in the mirror and say that you are gorgeous and you're a size two, but what thought would feel better? Just what would feel better? Start small. Maybe it's, one of my colleagues has a great metaphor for that. She says, what if you aren't going to win the beauty pageant, but you're just a runner up? You know, that thought feels better than totally beating the crap out of yourself.
Hmm. And to give us a little bit more traction on these thoughts, I mean, you must have heard thousands and thousands. Let's walk out of the weight one. What's some common ones that you hear that are really destructive that maybe are a little bit more subtle? Because, you know, some people, they're so used to them, they don't even recognize them as negative anymore. They're just living with that sort of, that rowdy roommate, that little gremlin, as you call it, and believing the bullshit that's coming out in their head without ever questioning it, because it's not really as absurd or way off base that they can. Sometimes it's that real subtlety, right, that's just giving that seed of doubt.
Yeah. And it's true. And that's what I say about the gremlin is that sometimes it's plainly obvious and really mean and nasty. And sometimes it's not so obvious and it's simply disempowering. So for example, I'll give you a personal example. I recently started playing roller derby. You know, I don't know if you know that roller derby has made a comeback pretty much all over the world, but I've wanted to play for years. And, you know, I was having babies and it's kind of hard to play roller derby when you're pregnant or you have babies. Now I'm finally done with that. And I really wanted to get into it. And about a year went by and I kept telling myself that I'm just too old. I turned 37 this year, and I was convinced, or I should say my gremlin was convinced and committed to the story that only girls in their 20s play roller derby. I wasn't going to be good enough. I was going to get my ass handed to me. And then it even went further than that. Like, I'm going to embarrass myself. Here I am, this life coach who's empowering, and I'm going to embarrass myself out there on the track. This is something that I wanted to do. I felt it in my bones. I felt it in my soul. This is what I wanted to do. So I had to check myself and say, really, Andrea, you're too old. Like, who's making that up? It's not a fact. It's really certainly not a fact. And so a question that you can ask yourself to counteract this gremlin is simply, and this comes from the work of Byron Katie, is this true? Is this really true? Challenge your own thoughts. Challenge your own quote unquote truths that your gremlin is committed to, because, and you said it, David, you know, the gremlin's primary job, this is what I tell people, is presenting itself as truth.
Yeah. And it can say it in just the right way with just the right tone to have you believe it every time. Right.
Well, we've grown up with this gremlin. I mean, I help people kind of think back, like, what was the first time that you ever remember hearing it? And mine was when I was 7 years old and I was selling Girl Scout cookies. And one of my very best friends, who I'm still friends with this today, she always sold like 200 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. It was ridiculous. And, you know, they kind of had contests. And I remember sitting with my Girl Scout troop and they were showing us all the prizes for who could sell the most boxes. And I remember thinking to myself, well, Karina's going to win anyway, because she's just better at selling cookies than I am. So I'm not even going to try. That was my first memory. That's a gremlin. That's a disempowering belief of who you are, of how you are, of your worth. And it just, I always say, it just likes to make up bullshit stories and present itself as truth.
And I know that from the studies I've done on the brain that a lot of that is this survival mechanism within the brain. I mean, the brain is not the place to find our happiness or our wealth. And that's why managing the gremlin becomes one of these critical pieces of the self-love puzzle that you teach, right?
Yeah, it's the first step. And you can't get to a place, I don't believe you can get to a place of self-love or of wealth or success or whatever these big dreams that you have without self-love. I mean, I can sit there and strategize all day long and help create goals with people and hold them accountable. But if they don't believe in themselves and they don't think that they are to some extent awesome, the strategizing is for nothing.
Right. So we've got this process you're going through, which is, you know, the first part, we become aware, we start noticing these negative conversations, and then we question them. Is it true? And then where do you go from there with your work?
Well, there's some fun exercises too. And this one works with a lot of people, not everyone, but I found it to work well with most of my clients, is that we personify it. And, you know, I ask them, if your inner critic, if this voice were a person or a character, what would it look like? And they get to make up, and usually it's pretty quick. Their answer is pretty immediate. And they're like, oh, it looks like Cruella De Vil, or it looks like, you know, I've heard everything from, it looks like a lobster, an octopus. My personal gremlin, she looks like a department store mannequin. She's perfect in every way. She's, you know, just vile in the things that she says.
She's got a potty mouth.
What's that?
She's got a potty mouth.
Well, she's just mean and nasty to me. Like, just, I call her, she's just a bitch. She's just so, just, you know, like, why haven't you done that yet? And so-and-so has already done that. And look at, you know, I never can measure up enough. That's what my gremlin likes to do to me. So I ask people to personify it because it's an exercise that allows them to hopefully see this voice as an entirely different entity as themselves. It's just an exercise though, because we'll always be with this voice. And I do believe that it's part of us. And, you know, later we can get into compassion and things like that. But for this exercise, it's very simple. Just personify it, draw it, or find the picture online that you think that it looks like. And that way, when these thoughts come up, you know, and you can catch yourself and say, that's just, and they name it, you know, what is the name of your gremlin? Is it Cruella de Vil? Is it, you know, and like, oh, well, that's just Cruella saying that, or that's just the mannequin saying that. So it's just a quick exercise to be able to visualize it as well.
That's awesome. And then, so once they personified it, where do you take them next?
Well, you know, some people don't resonate with that one, or sometimes they do. And I ask them to, when they find themselves in these situations where they're kind of paralyzed by the gremlin, or I'll give you an example. I had a client who really wanted to take up Pilates as exercise, and she was nervous because she was overweight, and her gremlin had made up the story that only, you know, skinny girls go to Pilates and the teachers were going to laugh at her and all this horrible stuff. So what she did was, is we had her visualize, you know, she's sitting in the car in the parking lot and she's visualizing, and I think she may have even done it out loud. I say things out loud to my own gremlin sometimes.
Shut up.
Her gremlin in the trunk of the car and literally said, you are not invited to this Pilates session. If you want to have a conversation with me later, that's fine. But for the next hour, you are not invited to this party. And there's so much power in visualizations. I'm sure you can agree with me, but I've done the same thing, you know, when I have to take a test or something big is coming up and I'm feeling, you know that your gremlin is speaking when you don't feel good, when you're stressed and anxious and you're worried, you're future tripping and your gremlin is making up stories. So if you can visualize and just ask it to go away, you know, and make it funny. You know, sometimes I ask mine to go to a bar and do shots of tequila, like do that for a half an hour. it seems to take power away from that voice.
Right, right. It's really funny because I teach a similar exercise. It's really funny how similar it is. It's like we must have been in designing this process. I want to sit down with you and go through it. It's so hilarious how close it is, including this kind of joke thing that goes on between you and I call it the imposter, you call it the gremlin. But how wonderful is this? What I want you to talk about before we go to sort of the next steps is because I know there's people sitting out there right now listening to this, and their gremlin is already at work discounting what you're saying. And we got to catch ourselves in that. So you know that you've been able to sort of really take great steps to really living a full life, to really, you know, showing up in your body, to really being able to take the things you want from life and really give to the world. So here you are as a shining example of success in so many ways. And here you are giving some really down-to-earth, simple instructions. And there's somebody listening at home, and it may not be many of them, but you know they're there, where their gremlin's already at work on you saying, well, discounting it. What do they do about that? Well, they're already in the battle.
Just notice it. You know, I call that the ultimate ass kicker, where, and anytime I teach a class or I work one-on-one with somebody, I point it out before they even have to say it out loud to me. And I say, like, your gremlin may be telling you right now that this isn't going to work. It might work for everyone else, but it's not working for you. Or you just wasted all this money on a coach or a class and all this, blah, 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 blah. So I just notice, this is your very first, this is your invitation for your very first exercise with your gremlin. Just notice and say, you know, you could say, okay, that just happened. That's what I love that exercise. It doesn't have to mean anything. It doesn't have to mean that it's not going to work. It doesn't have to mean that you're destined for failure. A lot of times we put labels on things like that. We have this big equal sign, you know, because I have these thoughts, it equals this. It doesn't. It just means that you're human and that you have thoughts and that this is happening. So I invite people just to notice and just, instead of saying it's not going to work, just say, okay, that just happened. I just had that thought. What do I want to commit to next? Right. What's possible is my favorite question. What if I could change my way of thinking? That's all. You don't have to be totally committed to it working. Just ask yourself what's possible.
So you, if we go back to where you are with your gremlin right now, and you've asked her, she's a mannequin, to go down to the bar and have a tequila shot while you're busy doing this other thing. go through that. The lightness of this, what makes this process so fun or great is it is fun. You start to realize that there's kind of two people in there, right? There's you, the authentic you, and this other kind of person in there who's kind of like, you know, been with you your whole life, will be with you for the rest of your life. And once you start getting on that sort of awareness terms and start having fun with it, you stop taking it so seriously. Isn't that what the process is going to do now?
Absolutely. And the miracle, I mean, I definitely think it's a miracle, is when people start to realize that they have control of their thoughts. And it's such a breakthrough. I love getting emails from people when they tell me something that happened and they're like, I started to go down this path of negative thinking and then I shifted it. And that's when everything changed. And the thing is that we still have setbacks. And I tell people that from the beginning, you know, this isn't like something that you just check off the list and you're done. I mean, I still have setbacks. The difference is that I've learned to manage it. And that's what the huge difference is my gremlin is still there, but yes, I don't take her as seriously. And what starts to happen is you get really good at finding out what your triggers are. And also where you get, I call it really gremlin-y. Like, what are the things in your life that make you really gremlin-y? Is it comparison? Is it around money? Is it around your relationship or parenting? So then you can focus on those things that might need a little bit more work.
Yeah, and so really where this is leading, the sense is that in spite of the noise, in spite of that sort of constant sort of little seed of doubt or even yelling in your head, that once you go through these steps and you start getting into this kind of more of the awareness, the conversation where it's lighter, that the next step really is about taking some form of action, is acting in spite of all the noise. Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's a great book out there, and forgive me, I forget the author, but the title is Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And that, you know, we still... If you waited to take action on the things that you really want to do until you had no fear, you'd be waiting for the rest of your life. And I often get a little bit annoyed when I'm being interviewed and people use the word fearless, like, oh, you're such a fearless female. And I stop them right there and I say, that's absolutely not true. I still have fear. I just act in spite of it anyway. And, you know, there, you know, fear is uncomfortable, and that's really what life is all about, is stepping out of our comfort zone and doing things that speak to us and that light us the hell up. Because, you know, without getting too much into energy and things like that, but when you feel the fear and do it anyway, when you do things that light you up, even if it's just one little thing, your focus completely changes. You start to attract more things like that, and your entire life changes when you start to do things that you love, regardless of the chatter that's going on in your mind.
Yeah. And so, Andrew, take me back for a minute, because we're listening in right now, and as you and I are having this conversation, you alluded to earlier that you weren't always like this, that you actually were challenged. The reason you're doing what you do is obviously because you've gone through this work and it's worked for you. Can you take me back to a time where you didn't have this confidence or you didn't have this awareness, and when you were subject to your gremlins ass kicking on a daily basis, what was going on for you? Give us a little look back into your life.
Well, you know, I think my own gremlin started when I was young, and, you know, I had a typical American childhood. I was actually lucky enough to have a very blessed childhood, and I had just typical teenage insecurities and all through my 20s. And where I was challenged was, and this is actually kind of a funny story, because I found life coaching in about 2002. It was when I first heard about it. And it was like, seriously, like the world opened up and the light shined down and the like this is it. Like my soul spoke to me. The funny thing was, is that I was with my former husband at the time, and I remember saying out loud, I said, I think that this is what I was meant to do, but I don't feel like I have enough life experience to be able to do this. Well, be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, and I had been in this relationship since I was 17, and we got married when I was 27, and 2 years into our marriage, my former husband had an affair with our neighbor, And this was, we didn't have any children yet, but we were talking about conceiving our first child. And I was 30 at the time, and I was ready to start a family and had it all planned out, as control freaks do. So
hence the perfect mannequin.
Oh my gosh, how my life has changed. So, during his affair with her, he got her pregnant, and, our marriage ended. And so basically he left me. It was it's that story of I got left and dumped by my husband, whom I'd been with for 13 years, and I got left for another woman. And I was destroyed, or I thought I was destroyed at that time. And I blamed him for my misery, and I went into a deep depression. I became pretty ill with an eating disorder, and I got into another relationship very quickly, who I thought was Mr. Perfect, and he turned out to be basically a con artist. And I manifested it. Basically, I manifested this awful relationship, this unhealthy relationship. And then one day, about 8 months into that relationship, I found myself, that relationship ended so badly. I won't get into the details, but I had gotten out of a lease from my amazing apartment down by the beach in San Diego. And I had quit my job, my great job that I loved, because me and Mr. Perfect were going to move away. But instead, he went to rehab and fell in love with another addict. So this was what I like to call my what the fuck moment. The apartment, on a heap on the floor in my bedroom, crying in the fetal position. And I literally said out loud to the universe, to God. And I said, what am I doing wrong? Whatever it is that I have done to tolerate this, I am done. Whatever it is that you think that I need to do right now, I will do it, because I know that this isn't working, and I know that I am destined for something way better than this. And I get emotional even when I tell the story, because it was such a pivotal moment. I was at my bottom. I had had enough of the bullshit. And I finally had to take responsibility for my life. I had looked to everyone else outside of me for love and acceptance, which clearly wasn't working. I had blamed everyone else for what had happened. And I finally, at that moment, took responsibility for my life. And what happened was that I got up, and I remember hearing about gratitude and hearing how it can change people's life. And I was desperate, and I'm like, I'll try anything. I got out a piece of paper and I wrote down 10 things I was grateful for at that time, which I thought I had nothing to be grateful for, but the list came pretty easy. And I drew a picture of what I wanted in my life, and I still have that picture. I kept it. And that was the beginning of my journey. And the pivotal moment was making the decision that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I had put myself into this metaphor, I call it a metaphorical box of conformity, and had been addicted to approval from everyone else. I was, like I said, I was seeking my happiness. I was esteeming myself through other people's eyes. And I just was miserable. I had everything going for me on the outside, but I was miserable, and I didn't know what it was. And it really, what it came down to was my thoughts and really my own self-love. And so that's really when everything started to change. It wasn't picture perfect. There was still times that were really hard, and I got really scared when things started to change. I see things start to shift, and I freaked out and kind of isolated for a little bit. I was afraid of my own success. It's that Marianne Williamson quote, you know, who are we to not shine for everyone else to see? And I was afraid of playing big, but it was, my soul was speaking to me and was telling me, you know, you are destined for greatness. And it was a very scary thought that I was destined for greatness. I think everyone is destined for greatness. They just have to believe it and believe in themselves. I know it sounds very cliche, but it really was. So bottom line is that it took me getting drop kicked into my life. It was like the world took me by the shoulders and said, wake the fuck up. What are you doing? this is not what we have in store for you. So I am so grateful today to my ex-husband for doing that to me, because had he not, I'd probably still be married to him and I would probably still be miserable. Who knows? I may have gotten out, but I'm so grateful for everything that's happened to me. And I learned so much from it. I can't even describe how grateful I am for all the misery I went through.
But don't you think though, Andrea, and thanks for sharing that, most people who start to discover their own inner power, their own inner strength, their own inner love, that start to sort of walk this kick-ass life philosophy, which is really that authentic life. And I'm going to ask you what your views are on that, because you are a master in this arena. But the a lot of us realize that all the crap was such a beautiful part of our life, and we wouldn't change it. I wouldn't look back in my life, and I'm sure you wouldn't look back and say, I want it a different way. It's all of that stuff that sort of that allows us to step in with such authority into the life that we create. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it comes down to just being at choice with how you perceive your circumstances. You have two choices. You can either stay a victim and say, poor me, I can't believe this happened to me. Look what that person did to me, and stay in what I call victimhood. Or you can accept it and figure out what you learned from it. What is the lesson here? You know, it goes back to the old question, the coaching question of, why do you think you needed to experience this? What if you looked at this as if it were a gift? What's the learning here? And there's so much richness. And there's a quote, and I cannot remember what it is, but it's something, I think it's Winston Churchill said something like, all wisdom is healed pain. And it's true. It really is. The better that we get, it's because of the hardships that we've had. And life is peaks and valleys, and you never really learn anything when you're up on a peak. It's great up there, don't get me wrong, but it's the valleys. It's like when we're in the thick of it, in the weeds is what I like to say, that's where the best learning and the best rich growth happens. So your choice, basically, stay where you want. How's that working for you? That's what I ask people. You want to stay there and be a victim and not take responsibility? Knock yourself out. But really ask yourself, how's that working? Or you have the choice to learn from everything that's happened and take it with you.
So if we go through the idea that we've sort of started to manage our gremlin, as you call it, and we started to sort of take responsibility, and we decide then that the victimhood is no longer going to be who we're going to be, and we take 100% responsibility for everything in our life, everything not in our life, what is those next steps? Because, you know, these things, I think everything you teach is so manageable. It's not this way off thing that's coming in 10 years. This stuff, anyone listening right now who's not enjoying their life, who feels miserable, who's stuck in that kind of box that you were stuck in, this stuff is not rocket science. This is stuff that they can really apply today, right?
Yeah. And, you know, when people get on a path of learning to manage their thoughts and their gremlins and take responsibility, then the really fun part comes in of asking for what you want. And so many people, and it's very common when I ask people that question, they don't know. They say they don't know. And that's okay. Because, you know, a lot of times we live on the surface of our lives and we conform and we think that we know what we want. And sometimes we get it, but that really wasn't it. So I ask people over and over again, you know, what is it that you really, really want? What do you want more than anything right now? And I'm not talking about tangible stuff, or if it is a tangible thing, I ask them, what do you think that that is going to bring you? I want to know what the feelings and emotions are that you really, really want. And a lot of times it comes down to love. I really want more love. And so that's the fun part, is the manifesting of what people really, really want. We lead complicated lives. I think especially, you know, not that men don't lead like complicated lives, but as women, we wear so many hats and we're always serving what other people want. And I ask people, okay, so if you had a pitcher of water and you're trying to serve water to your entire family or your friends or your coworkers or whatever, how can you fill up their pitcher if yours is empty?
Right.
So basically what they want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So they ask what they want. I want to ask you a couple more questions, and I want to sort of, before the end of the show, I want to talk about why I was thanking you and bring this up and let people know where they can find you. Your incredible website, and I really love it. I love it. It really exudes your personality and what you stand for, what you stand on with no apology. And that's what I love about you, because I really think that people who lead kick-ass lives, you know, they're not apologizing for who they are or how they show up or the story that they've or the journey they've lived. But your website is yourkickass.com. And you went ahead and you trademarked that name, and you let me know after we launched the show that this is your mark. And we talked, and this is how we got to know each other. And I think that this is a universal truth of people who want to serve. And the first question I think I asked you was, Andrea, what do you want to do in the world? And we chatted about it. And we talked that, you know, together there's this opportunity to reach more people. And even though that you have this protected and you could actually come along and say, hey, Dave, get out of here, right? That you've chosen to say, hey, don't worry, you know, carry on. And there's some things that I'd like, and there's some ways that we can collaborate. And I just want to really publicly thank you for that, because that takes a very special human being and somebody who doesn't live in fear, somebody who's not in a small box, but somebody who can really see the greater good. And I just want to make sure I say it on the airwaves. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I believe that every single person that's listened to the show, which is hundreds of thousands of people now, will thank you from around the world, 140 countries. So I want to tip my hat and say thank you, Andrea. And thank you for your... I'm not ending the call here. I just want to make sure I get it in before the end. I don't jam it into a little spot at the end. And your work, what's really interesting is I find this a kinship to almost everything you say is a lot of the beliefs that I live. And it's so funny. I think the first thing you said to me when you sent me the emails is say, hey, buddy, guess what? This is mine. You said it in such a beautiful way. And you said, great minds think alike. And that was just a wonderful part of your approach to this. So again, I'll shut up now and say thank you and let you just talk about that.
Thank, and I appreciate that so much. I will take that piece of gratitude and put it in my heart. What it really comes down to is that kindness and honesty always win. And I think that I get misunderstood sometimes because of my personality, and I am assertive and aggressive and somewhat audacious and unabashed, but at the same time, what it always comes down to is kindness and love and honesty, and that always, always wins. And I have to remind myself that all the time. And I think that, you know, we both have the same goal in mind, is to help people live their most kick-ass life, whatever it looks like for them. So who am I to come along and say, yeah, you really need to stop what you're doing? So, yeah, that's my part.
Well, again, and you do it so well. And I want to say, you know, I mean, that edginess, and that's, some people are going to be challenged because you've used the F-bomb a couple of times, you know, and that really is interesting. We should talk about that, because that really interests me, how someone can switch off because, you know, you're showing up full and alive, and you're willing to step into anything you need to step into in the moment. You have great language. I mean, your ebook is wonderful. 21 tips and tools for a kick-ass life, no bullshit included. You know, and I love it. I love that approach. But some people are going to step out of that because of their box. They're sort of living in this little box themselves. And in their box, you know, when someone speaks like that, you know, they're obviously a bad person. Can we talk a little bit about that? How we sort of get pushed around by our judgments of others?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, for me, you know, when I was telling you my story and how I was living in my box of conformity for so long, I apologized for years for who I was. And I was told a lot to settle down, to, you know, personality wise, like, you're too loud. Good girls don't use foul language. You have too much energy. You're overwhelming. I heard that a lot. And so I was constantly apologizing for how loud I talk, how loud I laugh, for my language, I was basically apologizing for who I was at my core authentic self. And that sucks. It sucks so much. And I know that there's so many people listening that can probably relate, that you spend your life apologizing for who you are. And I plead with people, it's my public service announcement, to not apologize for who you are. Who you are is in your DNA. It is who you were born to be. There is no one like you. And for you to suffocate that and to keep shoving yourself into a box, I know how painful that is. And it pains me to watch even. I mean, literally, it breaks my heart to watch. And so I'll tell you, it wasn't really, sometimes it's still, I have moments where I'm like, oh gosh, am I going to offend this person? And really my highest self, my most authentic self, she's like, fucking who cares? You know, it's my tagline. It's because life's too short for it to not kick ass. And it can't kick ass if you're constantly apologizing for yourself and trying to be someone that you're not. It's like wearing clothes that are six sizes too small. It just doesn't work. It doesn't feel good. So in order to feel better and to live a kick-ass life, really tap into and think about what are your God-given strengths and talents? What are the things that people compliment you for that you feel really good about getting complimented for? Those are your natural, that's your natural way of being.
Mm. You know, it reminds me of my son is 14 and he's 6'3". And he just started a private school. He was in a different school, but he had a choice between two different schools. And because, you know, he's edgy, he's got that edge. And I like this edge. He's been one of my greatest teachers. His name's Calvin. And I deeply, you know, he's one of these kids, cause he's like that. We butt heads sometimes as well. And he's having a walk around this school and he doesn't really want to go. He hasn't made the decision yet to go to this school. And, you know, and it's a long way. It's like the antithesis of where he was going. And the teacher looks at him and says, you know, just in a word, what's a characteristic that you would use to describe yourself? And he kind of, and the teacher was asking him, he's quite a lot shorter than Calvin. Calvin says to him, he says, well, he says, independence. And he says, I don't like being told what to think or how to think. And he sort of looks at this teacher and you could see that. Oh, and there's something about that I'm blessed because he is edgy and he has got his own way of doing stuff. And if everyone's going left, he's going to go right. And as parents, I find myself wanting to hurt him sometimes, even though I live this stuff and I believe in it and I teach it. Sometimes here I am doing it to my own kid, thinking he should somehow conform to what everyone else is doing. And then I catch myself. I said, no, that's exactly right. You know, he's got his own way of being. I'm sure with your two children, 3 and 5, you're starting to see that unique essence. Don't you think, though, that we've all been conditioned, everything we're believing right now, that conditioning of our environment, our parents, our schools, has played such a major role in how that gremlin's showing up?
Absolutely. And because the gremlin likes to play safe and doesn't take any risks. And it can be risky being exactly who you are. You know, there are going to be people that judge you and that don't, God forbid, they don't like you. is, you know, we kind of become these chameleons and we start to morph what we think people really want us to be. And we apologize and we change our vocabulary and our conversations and things that we wear and things like that. And because I think that this is a false belief that we think that it's safer. We stay within our comfort zone and we become victim to the gremlin.
Right. Well, this is awesome. You know, we're almost at the end of the show here. I know you've answered this 3 or 4 different ways already, but I want to ask it specifically. What is it to lead a kick-ass life?
Oh my God. It's never a dull moment. That's for sure. I don't know. I just got kind of emotional when you asked that because it is nothing short of a miracle. There is something so delicious about really going after what you want and really knowing that in the end, no matter what happens, that you'll be okay. And I think too, another thing that I haven't mentioned is that when you start to do all the things that, you know, you and I have just talked about and really start to step into your own kick-ass life, is that you attract people who are the same, who are just like you, and who are like-minded spirits and souls. And that has been kind of an unintended side effect, if you will. Like, I didn't know that that was going to happen, but I have connected with extremely good friends with some of the most amazing souls on this earth that I am so grateful for. And like I said, like the word that came to mind was that it's just a miracle. And that's why I'm so passionate about other people doing it, because I've been on the other side and I know that it feels like, and I mean, I don't know if anyone listening can relate to this, but I always used to ask myself, what is wrong with me? What the hell is wrong with me? And the answer was, there was nothing wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with me at all. It just was, I had to change my beliefs about myself and about how I showed up in the world. And if you're listening to this and you do feel like there's something wrong with you, just know that you're exactly where you need to be right now. This is your journey and it's perfect for you. And you have the choice whether or not you want to make some shifts.
Mm. So the wonderful Andrea Owen, and you're going to find Andrea, your, Y-O-U-R, your kickasslife.com. And I urge everyone to go there and pick up her free book, 21 Tips and Tools for Kick-Ass Life, no bullshit included. And she gives you a free hour of audio with that. And just awesome. I really, Andrea, I know that we're going to do a lot together. I can feel it. I'm going to have you back on the show. We're talking about doing some shows together, which I think would be awesome to do some shows together. So I'm looking forward to the journey ahead with you. Thank you for sending me that letter and getting in hold of me and then being so beautiful about it so that we could both continue on with our work.
Thank you so much. I mean, I feel like we can talk forever and ever and ever, but I know people have busy lives. So I invite everyone, just go out and just shift some thoughts around. That's your homework. I always give up.
Thank you. That's good. That's the homework right there. Shift your thoughts around. All right. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, David.
So I told you, you know, and I want to remind you that of the gratitude I feel. I know you've heard me say it a couple of times now, but I really love her energy. I love her, how she shows up, and she makes no apology for who she is or how she is. And she's lovely, and she's vibrant and passionate and really is making a difference. And I urge you to go and have a look at her website and see what she's offering and get her 21 tips, no bullshit included. But as we look back on what she talked about, I mean, this whole idea of asking the question, you know, what's possible if I really do change my life? And, you know, what understanding that there's this sort of miracle that occurs when people start to realize that they can really control and manage their thoughts, and that there's really simple steps. This idea of really managing that inner critic and just becoming aware and personifying it. And, you know, Cruella de Vil, it's so funny because so many people in my programs have used that particular description. But I loved her description of the mannequin because she was a control freak. Here it is, perfect, perfect, everything perfect, controlling everything. And so, you know, these are easy steps. You may have to listen to this show a couple of times. But I urge you, you know, one of the big things for me is for people to get hold of and look after and to totally take control of that inner gremlin. So with that said, thank you, Andrea Owen, for showing up. Thank you for being great about the kick-ass life. And now you know this too, your kick-ass life with Andrea Owen and the kick-ass life with David Wood. And I know we're going to do a lot more together. So with that said, I will be seeing you on the other side. And we're going to keep chatting. We know that on Thursdays, we have our single show, the 30-minute show, and we're looking at doing some sort of tweaks on there. So if you've got any thoughts, you can get hold of me on Facebook. Give me your thoughts about formatting. We want to sort of bring that around into a different type of format. And we got the 10-minute shows on the weekends. But remember, this is your show. You can get involved. You can help us out. Any thoughts you have, I'm really open to looking at that. How do we improve it? How do we take it to its own next level? You know, but give us your voice. And don't forget, write reviews. Reviews help us out a lot. So go onto iTunes and write a review. And you'll need your password and username. But if you can do that, that would be awesome. And I just want to say thank you again. Thank you for being here. Like I say, I always start out with gratitudes. I always start out thinking how important it is that your time means something to you. And by you sharing it with us, that's an awesome thing. So go out there and make this a real kick-ass day. And don't forget to go back over this this podcast, listen to it again, and start working on your inner gremlin. All right, let's kick some ass.
That was kick-ass.